Bibles this morning, I'd like to share with you out of the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 44. The Bible reads, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Supporting scripture, Romans 1. Verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. On the basis of those verses, this morning we'd like to use the thought or subject, God still has all power. Amen. God still has all power. Amen. See, when you ask God to do something, he may not answer in the way that you want him to, but God has a way of coming through. As the young lady sang earlier, he know how to turn it around. God still has all power. Today is an easy day to preach the gospel because it is centered around Jesus. Exactly. So I'm not in a hurry this morning. God has been too good to us, has brought us too far, and we got too many situations in our lives and things that we have control and a lot of things we don't have any control, but we have so much going on around us and in our lives that I don't know about you, but I need God. And sometimes we have to get to a place where we learn how to tarry and wait on the move of God. It is only by the grace of God that we have assembled ourselves in this house of worship one more time. And we come this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus the Christ on this Easter Sunday morning. Whereas had we been there over 2,000 years ago, by this time of day, when you got there, he would have already gotten up. I feel honored and I feel blessed this morning that I'm able to be here in the house of God to tell him thank you. But I do hope and pray that even if I was not able to come to the house of God, that wherever I might be, that I take the time out to tell God thank you. You see, we get caught up. Now, the Bible say, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But some of us get caught up in the thinking that we got to come to church. You don't have to come. But you got to be born again. You got to know Jesus for yourself. You got to know that there's a higher power than yourself. See, I just want to thank God. I want to thank God for Jesus who paid the price for us. How did he do it? With the shedding of his blood. knowing that he could have come down, but he realized that not his will, but his Father's will had to be done. So as we celebrate Easter today, let us continue to celebrate Jesus. Let us continue to remember that he is everything to us this morning. As we enjoy our families and our fellowship, let us not overlook the importance of this particular day. For as believers of the gospel, we must remember what Christ endured for us on the cross. The cross is not just another story. It's just not a happening that we like to talk about. It has significance. It has meaning. It should have a place in your life. The cross should mean something to you. It should mean something when you come in and you see those crosses there. That should mean something to you. If you are a believer, you've been going to church for a long time, and I know some of our children may not understand, but those of us that have been in the church and been going to church, and we heard the Easter story, we heard all about Jesus, and we know that these three crosses represent that Jesus was on the one in the middle and the other two were the malefactors. But what we have to understand is that cross, even though it's just a piece of wood and it symbolizes something, it ought to have some meaning to you. If you got jewelry, if you like a cross around your neck, it ought not be a cross just for fancy jewelry. But it ought to be a reminder that you had somebody that loved you enough, that was a better friend to you than any friend that you got down here on the earth. Have anybody ever heard the saying, what a friend we have in Jesus? Glory, hallelujah. But when I think about that, Jesus loved us enough that he laid down his life. What you say, preacher? I said he laid it down. He didn't have to die. And they didn't kill him because they couldn't. He allowed himself to die. When the young lady read the scripture, it said he gave up the ghost. You're not going to give it up. He's coming to get yours. You don't have any say-so about it. No man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man is going to appear. But we do know that it's appointed unto all of us a time that we are going to die. But thanks be to this day, death has no power. The Bible says that Jesus himself has taken the sting out of death. Anybody hear me this morning? Well, I just felt like saying that. I ain't quite ready because they pushed me too fast. Easter Sunday. Oh, I thank God for all of our babies and how wonderful they look. And, you know, we still feed into that myth. And that's all right. One reason I believe it's all right, and we need to hold on to something, because our mindset and the mentality of what we look like, we don't care no more. So I'm glad that you dress your children up like they ought to look all the time on Sunday morning. Don't wait till Easter to make them be decent. Let them be decent and in order all the time. Anybody want to help me? Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank y'all. Ever since I was a little boy, we had that mentality that Easter, you're going to get a new suit. Yeah. Yeah. One thing we have to remember is that our folk didn't have what we got now. Yeah. They didn't have the means to make sure that you had all these clothes. But if you can buy a $75 pair of blue jeans and a $100 pair of shoes, that's three or four suits right there. And that one that you feed, that one that you clothe, when you go in there and say, get up and get ready for church, I don't have nothing to wear. You are lying, the truth ain't in you. There are those this morning. Oh, glory. Whoever that was for, I hope it helped you. Because seriously, it is time for us. It's time for us to understand that your first impression is a lasting impression. And don't get it twisted. Don't think that just because you got a little conversation, a little gift of the gab, you can't talk your way through everything. There's some things you got to work your way through. There's some things you got to prove yourself. You can't go in there to get a job making any kind of money looking like the street. Then you want to say they don't want to hire you because you're black. Black ain't got nothing to do with it. You're not decent and in order because you don't have to have on the best. But you can be clean. You can be decent. As we celebrate Easter, I tell you, y'all keep pulling stuff that ain't even on here. But as we celebrate Easter, we got to understand that Easter is a feast or a festival of the Christian church that commemorates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday following the full moon that occurs on or after March 21st, which means that it could come as early as March the 22nd and as late as April 25th. There are those of us wondering, why did Easter come up on us so early this year? What's early about it? Was there not a full moon? Is this the first Sunday after the full moon, after March the 21st? So it's Easter time. Remember, this is leap year, so everything going to be sort of offbeat. I didn't read it, but I heard about it, and I can't really tell it because I didn't read it myself, but I don't think they were lying. But they told me that it was posted on the board that Easter won't come this early for another 100 years. So you won't never live to see it come this early no more, so don't get twisted and bent out of shape. When we celebrate Easter, what we are celebrating is the victory of Jesus Christ over death. And this event started on Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, the last week that Jesus was to be amongst the disciples and the people on the earth. On Palm Sunday, as he rode and arrived into Jerusalem, as he made his triumphal entry into the city, the Bible said that the people of God cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." The Bible said that they waved palm branches and they took even garments off their back and laid it down so that the Lord would have some, what we call the red carpet treatment. We're talking about Jesus. Now, if the president came, they'd have all kind of folk all around him and all types of drivers and all types of cars, and everybody would be there. Somebody better than the president. Somebody that got more power than every president, every king, every doctor, every lawyer was coming into Jerusalem. Somebody heard that it was Jesus. And as Jesus rolled in into Jerusalem, the people of God was excited. Now after the excitement on Monday, as Jesus got into Jerusalem, he went by the temple of God. If God catches us at the right time, oh glory, don't let him catch us with a house not in order. But when he went by the temple and they were selling things and trying to get material gain and taking the Lord's house and making it everything but the house of prayer. And now the way I read it, the Bible said that the Lord went in and turned the tables over. Now Jesus can get upset. I'm not Jesus. Yeah. So when we do things out of order, I get upset. When Jesus turned the tables over and run them out and reminded them, my house should be called the house of prayer, not the house of gathering, not the house of backbiting, not the house of stabbing one another in the back, not the house of name calling, not the house of being critical and judgmental, but this should be the house of prayer where we go down on bended knee. Oh, glory, looking up to the hills, knowing that our help come from the Lord. Our house. Tuesday. The Bible said that they questioned Jesus and challenged him. What gives you such authority to think that you can tell us this, that, and the other? Sometimes when you stand to be a child of God, somebody's going to try you. Somebody's going to challenge you. Somebody's going to try to see how much Jesus you got. Anybody ever pushed you to the limit and you almost let go? But somewhere down on the inside, you're reminded of Jesus. And Jesus never said a mumbling word. So you learn how to keep your mouth shut. You learn how to go down to God in prayer. I wonder this morning, is anybody in the house that know how to pray standing on your feet? Anybody know how to pray with your eyes wide open? See, the Bible says you ought to be watching and praying. You can't close your eyes around everybody. Didn't say a lot about what happened on Wednesday. But Thursday, glory. Thursday was a good day. Thursday was a day that the Lord realized, my time is getting short. Brothers, you've been walking with me for a long time. I've been teaching you everything that I know. But I know something that you don't know. I'm not going to be with you very long. I got something that I want to let you know. That we've been sitting down at the table and eating milk and honey for a long time. But tonight is going to be the last time that we sit down and dine together. So go make some preparations. Go and get the upper room set up so we can get ready for the Lord's Supper. Well, on Thursday when he began to serve them the supper, after that, he realized that he had to go and pray. Went up to the Mount of Olives, began to pray to the Lord thy God. The Bible says that he got all in agony. He was all messed up. He was in between a rock and a hard place. He said, I just don't know if this cup ought to pass for me or not. But Lord, whatever your will is, not my will, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus realized that I got to give up the ghost. On that Thursday, there was another one in the midst, was ready to betray him. Man, let me tell you something. 30 pieces of silver is not worth your soul. But some of us that love money, some of us that get caught up in money, we'll do anything for a dollar. But I'm glad that as much as I need a dollar, I don't want to have a mindset that I'll do anything just to get a dollar. Judas ought to be ashamed of himself. Well, if you read on, you'll find that Judas was ashamed. Judas' conscience got the best of him. He began to think about it. I done messed up. My father, my leader, that done everything that he could for me. I done betrayed him. I done let down my God. I done allowed the enemy to use me. Is there anybody in here? Is there anybody in here that the devil want to use this morning? I'm trying to see you. I'm trying to see you this morning. Because I come to tell somebody, don't let the devil be your ruler. Don't let the devil, don't let him use you. But you better hold on. Hold on to God himself. Oh, glory. When I think about how they denied him, you know how folks say, I'm with you, pastor. Folks say, I'll go with you. When you get there, you all by yourself. But I'm glad I serve a God that promised never to leave me. I serve a God that said that he'd always be right there. Anybody know Jesus? Anybody know the lily of the valley? Anybody know that by his stripes we are healed this morning? The Bible says when they come to the place which is called Calvary, they cried, crucify him. And the malefactors were on the right hand and another was on the left. Jesus said at that time, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to tell somebody that if God can allow his son to die a shameful death for your sins and my sin, and after they beat him, after they whooped him bad, after they struck him up on the cross, all our Lord said, he didn't have any ought. He didn't get mad in his heart, but he prayed for them. He said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When somebody go up against you and say that you don't have nothing, call you everything but a child of God, instead of cussing them out, instead of getting out of order, you ought to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I come to tell somebody that on this day, this is the Lord's day, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving my wretched soul. The Bible says that after God got up, you see, you weren't here. Some of you weren't here this morning. But John said, I'm glad that they put him in there. What he was talking about was he glad that they put Jesus in the tomb. But on the third day, he got up, just like he said. And I want to let you know that after he got up, after the women went to the tomb, and he wasn't there anymore, a little bit later, two of the disciples walking along their journey sat down on the inside. Think about it for a moment. That one that you love, he has just been killed. That one that you love, you just left the gravesite, and your heart is heavy. Their heart was heavy, and they talked about their Lord. And Jesus came in the midst of them. Why are you all so sad? What are you talking about? They said, you must be a stranger. You must not be from around here. Don't you know that our Jesus was crucified and they buried him. And we went by the tomb and he was not there. The women said that he had already got up because some angels told him that he was alive. Well, now they still didn't know who was talking to them. But later on in the evening, they sat down for a little while and they began to get ready to eat. Oh, glory. When Jesus broke that bread, don't you know when your daddy been feeding you all of those days? You know how daddy break bread. You know how daddy pray. So when God broke the bread, when God gave them the bread, they realized that this is my Lord. They got happy. They got happy because Jesus was alive. The Bible said when they got to the other disciple, they told them that the Lord is still alive. They said, I don't know what you're talking about. How can that be? Don't you remember when we were back in Galilee? He told us that he was going to die. But after the third day, he was getting back up. And I believe that when they were there with the 11, Jesus came in the midst of them. Jesus began to talk to them. And they realized that he was yet still alive. I want to tell somebody that you better believe in God. Don't have to wait until you see the prints in his hand. Don't be like Thomas. But know that God is always alive. God still has power. He got power over every situation. He got power even over death. And I thank God this morning. I thank God for Jesus. Because he has all power. He got up out the grave with all power in his hands. Oh, glory. When I think of Jesus, when I think of Calvary, oh, that place called Calvary, there's something. Something was going on Calvary. And don't you know that there's another lesson on Calvary's hill. For those two that were getting ready to die, one of them had the wrong attitude. You're supposed to be Jesus. Why don't you save yourself? But the other one, realize this man has done nothing. He told the one that had the wrong attitude, so you need to watch what you say. We are guilty of what we've been accused of. But this man has been tried and found innocent. And yet his very own people, they were the one that led the cheering squad. Crucify him. Crucify him. Let Barabbas go. Isn't that a terrible thing that you would rather save a murderer than to allow Jesus to come down off the cross? But I'm glad that Jesus was there because he realized that I can't come down. His place on the cross, it guarantees our salvation. Because he hung there, because he suffered, bled, and died. I can't help but think about Isaiah. When Isaiah prophesied that he would be beat with many stripes, but by his stripes, you are healed. Anybody ever felt the healing hand of God? Hallelujah. That's another reminder. The thing that Jesus went through for you so that you could have salvation. You could have that blessed assurance that Jesus, he's mine this morning. If you are a believer, understand the scriptures. That Jesus did die. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But I truly believe that he got up on the third day. And when he got up, he got up with all power. And the power that Jesus has, it will wash you. It will keep you. It'll save you. It'll sustain you. Because you see, when you start out on your journey, you're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days. And Jesus being Jesus, he told the disciples, he said, now, in this life, you're going to go through some things. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But he let them know, understand this. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Think of your problem. Think of your situation. Those things that you have brought to the altar. All you got to do is walk away. Walk away believing that God still has all power. God says, and I'm finished, that as long as we're in his hands, no man is able to pluck us out. Isn't that good news? You know, when we think about this Resurrection Sunday, it ought to bring joy, laughter, and sometimes an occasional tear. Because when someone we love dies, it grieves us to our heart. And folks say sometimes, oh, you ain't got to cry. But when I read the scriptures, they tell me that when Lazarus died and Jesus got there and found out he wept, are you better than Jesus? You see, if you have a heart like Jesus, then you can see a boy, a girl, a woman, or a man that you don't know. And if they are going through, something on the inside begins to yearn and turn. And have you ever noticed how you hear of a sickness or you see an accident and immediately you say, God, have mercy. That is the love of Jesus in your heart, that you recognize the higher powers of God. And whereas I'm not a doctor, I can't save him. But I can call Dr. Jesus. Anybody in here know Dr. Jesus?